Good morning, my friends. My name is Reverend Schuyler Rhodes, and I have the privilege of serving as the pastor of Petaluma United Methodist Church. I want to welcome you to our weekly worship podcast. For this, you know, is really an extraordinary experience of listening. You know, it's rare, I think, for most of us to just stop, close our eyes, and simply listen. So I want to invite you now to do exactly that. Grab a cup of coffee or tea if you wish and relax while you share in this experience of hearing worship. And if you feel like singing or praying along, you're also, of course, more than welcome to do that. We've wrapped, as you know, our stewardship campaign is wrapped up, and I want to thank all those who made pledge commitments for the coming year. Your generosity will help us continue to do the work of the church in a time when God is calling us forward as never before. And if you haven't had a chance to pledge, there's still time. As your pastor, I'm happy to discuss the needs and the focus of the church so that you might better understand how we deploy our resources for the ministry I'll share. For now, though, I just want to thank you for generosity and help us move to a quiet center as we call ourselves to worship.
Please join me in the call to worship. Here we are, God, listening for your call upon our lives. Here we are, God, ready to rise up in faithfulness no matter what. Here we are, God, committed to being your people, your church. Here we are with open spirits, ready to worship you. Our opening hymn is Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. Our call to confession? We are in relationship with God and with one another. Let this confession deepen our relationships and our faith. Please join me in our prayer of confession. God of love and presence, we pause in prayer now to invite you into our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, and seize us with your power. Come, Holy Spirit, and open our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, and teach us the power of vulnerable love. Come, Holy Spirit, and wash us with the power of your hope. We know, even in your powerful presence, God, that we do not easily release our anger. We know too, Lord Jesus, that you invite us to a spiritual candor that begins the healing work within us. And so we confess that we have not loved you fully. We have clung to our own ways and not followed you on the path of forgiveness and new life. We have not heard the cries of the poor, and we have not opened our hearts to fully receive you. Forgive us, we pray. Call us to a joyful wholeness as we build our community anew. We pray this. We promise to live more fully in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
God extends grace and forgiveness to us all and calls us to offer it to others. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Nananda lesoni na matakan dindai kotamena sami vitusanga bulgawal wangona kinororong do bangara dalinga mundo nanugu tamata kinanugu ibuna do bakalkala nandalinga mundo kinanobosa ningsungu onandalanga nangsungu enobosa bakatutu bata ono tugu neso akasabuni tu menangono makawa Koya ke tua rongoda, ka kila, kar sa tukuna me vikitou, kui rana nondangase. Ke tau na sangani punia vira na luvenra, ke tau na vata kila, kini tambata matai muri, nona vinaka, ku tioba. Kina nona kaukaua, kina nona dhagadamana, sa kitaka ku koya. Nisa vakaturo ku koya, mendo tukuni, Vira na Chekope. Katodo ne vuno vira na Isireli. Kasavarota vira na Nondangase. Nera vata kila vira na Luvenra. Nera kila rawa na itambata mata emuri. Ie kuir na ngone er na sudhumai emuri. Nera tumbutelinga katukuna vira na Luvenra. Ka nera vararabinga vikoe na kalou. Kasianga ni ngule dhava na dhagadhaga ni kalou. Ka nera vambotanga
I will be reading from Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might, and the wonders that he has done. He established a decree in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and rise up and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments.
Well, Mother, don't you stop praying, Father, keep right on praying, Mother, don't you stop praying, for this old world is almost done. Well, keep your lamps trimmed and burning, and keep those lamps trimmed and burning. Well, keep your lamps trimmed and burning, for this old world is almost done. Brother, don't you stop praying. Sisters, keep right on praying. Mama, don't stop praying, for this old world is almost done. So keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. For this old world is almost done. Well, church now, don't you stop praying. Church now, don't you stop praying. Church now, don't you stop praying. For this old world is almost done. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Oh, keep your lamps trimmed and burning. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning. For this old world is almost done.
Ne corone non delle sogni sa con tomena madio na va se rosu gulima ma non do che ne tin che tulu e non gai va tutto po tata che na matin tu bolo malangi che ne ngone le e tini e tu sando i cotta non na divina kale ki vita ta che na tangane sanga i voti kale li me vero to sa buku kale li ma sa li lia vertu ne li lia Erto sa kotabata no no to vidina. Arto sa saini kotabata ke no iwai. Ia kuerto no buku. Erto sa kotabata no iwai. E no no to tapaya ke no no to vidina. E ni sandinde mai na tangane. Sanga iwawati. Erto sa susobu ke denga kamode. Ni sanga ilomolo minubongi na bunua. Sa iye na kadikadi. Reda. Sa lagoma na tangane. Sanga iwawati. Dola ki vi tapa ki kaya. Ertu sangai tu dhake ke denga nangone leongo. Kartu wakarutaka na nono tu vidina. Asaka kuerto na lilia, virtu sabuku. Silia me vikitou endo nono mdu waiwai. Ni samboko na nitu vidina. Asaka virtu na buku. De se senga ni vita takile vita lebu viki mdu. E vinaka mundu lakunga vihira nando vivuli. Kabulia na nomdu dhina. Enerto salako merato laki bulboli. Sa tando maina tangane sa ngai bawati. Kuerto sa pagarota gawati tuna nomdu dhina. Eto sa dhurubata kayane ki nakana mangiti ni bawati. A sa ngai songo na katumba. Sa ngai lako talanga mai emuri kuerto na lelewa. Kukoya kakaya nungu turanga, nungu turanga. Ndolavi ketou. Asa vosa kukoya kakaya. Ausa kaya poka indina viki mdou. Ausa senga nikile ki mdou. Okoya mundu ngai poka tawa. Nindu sa senga nikila na singa. Sina tiki ni singa. Salao mekina na lupin tamata. Dingo pa baka lomata takana kalu na nono vosa. Darunga darawa indindai.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew 25. The parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour."
Good morning, sisters and brothers. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Holy and marvelous God, we gather across the ether and the internet this day to be your community in worship. Link us by your Spirit, connect us by your power, and as we unpack the sacred text today, let the meditations of our common hearts and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Well, you know, I remember when I was a kid, we lived on a farm in upstate New York. And every summer, our cousins would come for an extended stay, and we would start to get excited days before their arrival. And on that day, it was amazing. We were jumping up and down. So my dad, in order to get us out of his hair, would send us to the end of our long driveway where we would be told to wait for them to come, to keep an eye out. And we would wait with mounting anticipation for the arrival of that Chevrolet station wagon that would contain our extended family. Every car that would pass by, we would strain our necks to see. Was it them? No, that's not the right color car. Oh, here comes one. Is that the one? No, that's a pickup truck, and so on. And with each passing car, our anticipation would grow until slowly, almost imperceptibly, we would start to get a little bored. And then we'd get a lot bored. And then we would be really distracted and end up running off into the woods after something or other. And of course, as you may have guessed, when we weren't paying attention, when we were off doing something else, my cousins would arrive and we'd be out there playing hide and seek, having forgotten even about their arrival. The story that we share from the Gospel of Matthew here has this kind of anticipation built into it, only it's multiplied 100 times. And at first glance, you know, it appears to be a pretty strange story. We have 5 foolish and 5 wise bridesmaids, and the story is clear that the wise ones came prepared with oil for their lamps so that they could wait into the night for the expected bridegroom. The foolish ones, who didn't come prepared, had to go back into town to buy some more oil when theirs ran out. And of course, while they're gone, distracted by not having enough oil, the bridegroom shows up, takes the wise bridesmaids into the wedding banquet, shuts the door to the foolish, unprepared bridesmaids. Now, there's a fair bit of unpacking here that we should think about in relationship to this story. And the first thing to say is there's a lot of code language here, kind of, and it's code from the early church, and they would have readily recognized what was going on here. Picture people in a first century house church meeting. Listening to this story, they would be nodding their heads in unison because they knew. And here's some of what they knew. All the talk of wedding celebration and bridegroom and bridesmaids refers to the kingdom of God. The wedding celebration is the kingdom, and the bridegroom, of course, Jesus, right? Of course, is Jesus. And this story is about the expected, anticipated, eagerly awaited return of Jesus, which was a huge deal in the early church. Most Christians in those days believed in their core that Jesus was coming back to usher in an age of salvation. And the level of anticipation and expectation about the imminent return of Jesus, it's called the parousia, about this imminent return and the inauguration of the kingdom, is almost impossible for 21st century American Christians to grasp. In the early days, the faithful believed, they expected, they knew, they anticipated the return of Christ, not just in a few years or some later date, but now. In fact, they were so hyped about this that they expected Jesus to come in the door at any moment. Today? An hour? Now? In 3 minutes? He's here. He's almost here. Indeed, he would arrive before any of the faithful died and passed on. There was almost a fanatical focus on this. And for us, more than two millennia later, we have the ultimate return of Jesus as part of our doctrine, but there is really not any sense of immediacy for us. We're not waiting with bated breath for the return of Jesus. But this sense of anticipation, of heightened expectation, really is key to our understanding our ancestors in faith and perhaps understanding our own faith a little better. So the focus here really is being ready. It's about being ready, alert, about paying attention. And I wonder, as I think about this, if any of you have ever played tennis or racquetball or some kind of a court sport. In these games, being ready is really the path to victory. You kind of stand on the balls of your feet and you're watching, waiting for the ball to come your way. And if you're focused, paying attention to the game, you can move quickly and hit and return the ball no matter where it lands. If you're playing tennis and standing flat-footed, staring up at the clouds, not paying attention, you'll miss the shot and lose the point. Our church communities sometimes find themselves standing flat-footed, not paying attention. Our church communities are sometimes like the foolish bridesmaids, unprepared, not ready, not even fully present. And in these moments, friends, I believe that our church is called to a new, heightened level of readiness. In the midst of pandemic, a lot of communities are suffering from the stress of it all and wondering when things are going to go back to what we used to think of as normal. In many places, people are just standing on the court, flat-footed, unprepared. Some feel the stress, some feel depressed. And in this state, we stop paying attention to the real reason that we exist as a church. And we can be staring up at the clouds as ministry opportunity is served right at us. In this season, friends, God has need of us to be the church in ways we have not really even imagined before. I mean, who would have thought our church would have made 400 medical masks? What? Worshiping on the front lawn? Having Bible study and meetings online and on Zoom? All this is a little disorienting because it's not how we're used to being church, is it? But even feeling the stress and the disorientation, we still are the church. We are the ecclesia, those called out to minister and serve, those charged with sharing the gospel and the love of God in Christ Jesus. We are the very body of Jesus Christ in the world. We are his hands, his voice, his feet, his heart. And we, friends, need to be prepared. We need to be ready. We need to keep our lamps trimmed and burning, and we need to have enough oil to keep that light going until the Master comes. We need to be alert, ready to move, ready to serve, ready to love, ready to forgive, ready to lead with compassion and joy, and we need to approach life and ministry like that tennis player, standing on the balls of our feet, ready for whatever may come, willing to move and change in order to meet it. Ours, you see, through this passage in Scripture and at this time in our life together, ours is a call to readiness. And what, I can hear it now, some of you thinking, what is it should we exactly be ready for? And that's a good question. You know, I think that the church is an incredible place right now. We have an opportunity like none before this, to show the world the grace and love of Christ. We have a chance to undo some long periods where, I'm not blaming any one church, but we as church in general have been pretty good at talking the talk, but sometimes not so good at walking the walk. And we got a chance to do that now. I know some will say we're an older church, and what can we do? Some will say we're a smaller church, what can we do? And some will say it out that it doesn't feel like there's much at all we can do. But that's really not true, friends. Imagine the mighty works of the saints who have gone before us. St. Paul was just one guy, but planted new churches with a new ethic of inclusion all over the known world. And what about St. Francis, who walked away from riches? He walked away from it all so he could start a movement based in simplicity and gentleness. And what about John Wesley, who rode tens of thousands of miles on horseback to build a movement of people who, in their core, were ready? And these Methodists entered strange cultures at the time of the Industrial Revolution, when social upheaval was enormous. And all these people and so many more, oh, they were ready. They were prepared, able to watch and see what was coming. Hospitals needed in poor urban centers? Done. Disaster relief around the globe? Done. Schools, clinics, seminaries, homeless shelters, and more? Done, done, and done. I believe the time has come for us to discover anew what ready looks like. I think more than that, we need a vision of where we believe God is calling us to go once we understand what it means to be ready. We need a vision of hope and faithfulness, a dream of community and ministry, a vision that can see a decade ahead and light the way so that we can be ready to move together in strategic, clear, careful ways as we serve God and God's people, as we build anew a community of love, forgiveness, and healing. So, yeah, for that, we need to be ready. Not just for a one-time thing where we hit the ball and relax. No, we need to study and practice so that readiness becomes kind of a state of being for us. Responsiveness becomes the way we are. Alertness and heightened compassion become almost like a reflex to us, like spiritual muscle memory. This church has an amazing community of powerful and wonderful people. Petaluma United Methodist Church, this church, has the capacity to quite literally change the world. And I know that you feel this on some level. I know that your faithfulness and enthusiasm are bubbling up even in the face of challenges. I know that God has seized your hearts and whispered a dream of faithfulness, a vision of the future. Over the next few weeks, through Advent, we'll be writing and speaking to you all about this. So watch for a simple survey in the mail. Get ready for a phone call from some folks who are going to ask you some questions. And we will also even have a couple of Zoom meetings if you'd like to talk about it in this way. But we're going to be working together on this all through the Christmas season. And we hope to have some kind of discernment about a vision that we can share widely with everyone. And in the meantime, you and me, together, we're going to be working on being ready, right? We're going to work on preparedness. We're going to make sure that we have enough oil for our lamps. We're going to relearn how to stand on the balls of our feet. And we're going to love each other fully, powerfully, in the name of Jesus Christ. This is an exciting time, my friends, to be Christian community. This is an amazing moment for us to rise up and claim the raw and wonderful creative power of our faith. This is the moment of the wedding, the inauguration of the kingdom. This is when we build communities of hope. We offer people literally salvation. I'm excited that we get a chance to do this together, to point ourselves to the future, and excited to be waiting for the bridegroom to come. Hallelujah and amen. Let us pray. Holy God, we come this day as your people. We come not as a people of clan or nation, not a people of profession or career, but your people. You are the one who created us, who created the world in which we live, and you are the one who has called us together to be a community of wholeness and love, a community of wonder and dignity. And so we come this day to pray for this community, to ask for an outpouring of your Spirit on each one of us so that, God, where we might be tired, your Spirit can lift us up with hope. Where we might be weary and even cynical, God, we ask for an outpouring of a fresh spirit of possibility and hope. And where we have found ourselves just wondering what's next, God, we ask that you pour out a spirit of new possibilities. Open our hearts to the power of dreaming. Open our vision to the power of new love. And Holy Spirit, in this time, as we pray for this community, we pray too that for those of us who are ill, for those of us who are struggling, we pray for one of our church members whose neighbor is having heart surgery. We pray in this moment for our country, for a peaceful and patient and smooth transition. We pray for the glorious time of autumn, for the changing of the leaves and the colors. And we pray for those who have had successful surgery, for Ron, for Elaine's son, for those who have been very blessed with medical procedures that have gone their way. We pray for the family of Diane Peterson as they mourn her loss this day. And Lord, we pray for people in our congregation whose families struggle with illness. And we pray for those of us who are feeling alone and isolated, may we reach out and seek one another in community. And God, we pray for the renewal of the whole church. Though this is a time of challenge, it is also a time of opportunity. And we invite you to help us to see that. We pray this and so much more in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Tamagi mami melo malangi, me bororo taki ne damuni, me adumai na numuni matintu, me dagala lo mamuni e burubura, me bakasada melo malangi, ni sile me piki mami ne singongo na kakana erotiki mami, ni mukoda ne mami valvalda, me bakaki mami samukodo ti nononra, erosai valvalda piki mami, ni kaguni koti ki mami gine vere, kavombule ki mami menda. Ni sa nomuni na matintu, kena kaukaua, kena langilangi, sangani mundu. Amen.
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Now's the time when we customarily would receive our offerings and our tithes and our pledges. And we do so. Even though we are in a podcast. So I invite you to send your check to the church. I invite you to drop it by the church office and put it in the mailbox. Or you can go online to www.petalumaumc.org and you can click there to donate and also find instructions there how to give by texting. It's very easy. But the important thing is that however we give, that we understand and realize that all that we have comes from God. And only a small portion we give back so that we together as Christian community can do the work of the church. I thank you in advance for your generous spirits. Thank you for the pledges you have made in this season. And thank you too for the pledges you're about to make. For all of us, make this ministry possible as we put our trust in God and share our resources widely. Let us pray. Holy God, we dedicate these gifts to the work of your people. We dedicate these gifts to the cause of salvation, of sharing the gospel of love, to the cause of healing, hope, and new life. And we ask that you orient our minds and our hearts to that new life so that we might live together and grow together and find our own way together, following the path of Jesus. We pray this, we dedicate this in his name. Amen. Hear these words of benediction. Let us leave this place today as ones committed to being prepared, committed to being ready. Let us open our hearts and become responsive to the movement of God's Spirit, responsive to God's call for us to open our hearts and to expand our imaginations. And so let us go with great joy. Let us go with optimism and enthusiasm in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.